Hello, and welcome to Humans of Agape. We are Agape Europe, a community of people who make Jesus known, so lives are changed and Europe is transformed. We want to bring spiritual hope and help to people from all walks of life. I am your host, my name is Jochen Geck. I work in the Berlin City Hub in Germany, and I'm curious to hear about what God is doing across Europe. So this is what this podcast is all about. I interview people who are on staff with Agape and ask them about what God is doing in their lives and ministries. Praying, loving, and caring for the people in our lives. This is the motto of My Friends, an Agape ministry in Switzerland, and we're talking today with Yannick Stauffer out of Bern, Switzerland, who's going to tell us more about that. Hi, Yannick.
Hi.
Great to talk to you today.
Yeah, great to talk to you as well.
You're our second guest from Switzerland.
Yeah, I saw so.
And so I feel like March is still ski season, and so perfect timing for a guest from Switzerland. Are you a skier or a snowboarder?
Sadly, neither.
Really?
That's actually a very sad truth about me. I never learned to ski or to snowboard. I do have a snowboard with all the equipment, but I've only been using it twice so far. Huh. So that's a very sad truth about myself for the start of this interview.
Starting with the sad news.
Yeah.
Maybe to talk about more happy things, let's talk a little bit about who you are and what a great person you are, Yannick. Can you introduce yourself a little bit to us?
Yeah, sure. Well, you already heard my name. I'm working with Agape in Switzerland. I am a regional leader for My Friends. My Friends is a ministry that stands for equipping the saints and the church for encountering people in everyday life together with Jesus. That means imagine someone just looking for Jesus in their life and being in conflict. One name that pops into my head is Daniel, which is by now a friend of mine, but he had a very, very hard life so far. He's around 40 years old, had an accident as a kid. Because of that, he couldn't learn a job because he had some mental issues, and his brother and sister died in a car accident when he was still a teenager. His dad died 2 weeks later. Recently, about 2 years ago, his mom died, so he's had a hardcore life. And there was one guy at his workplace, which is a friend of mine, that just took him along and brought him along because he knew he needed Jesus. And we with My Friends, with our ministry, stand for equipping people to be those friends of Daniel and to encounter people that have had hard lives, normal lives, whatever, and just talk to them about Jesus and bring them along into the kingdom. Yeah.
Okay. Tell us more about Daniel. So his friend brought him along to a meeting. Where did he bring him?
He later brought him to the church. I think my friend has been living the My Friends lifestyle for a while now, and he just poured into his life with love and caring about him, praying for him, and then bringing him along to church and just discipling him. And now I am actually doing a little journey with him through the Bible to discover what's the thing that Jesus died for, so we can actually be together with him. And that's how the whole journey began with his friend, and now it's kind of moving along together with me and with other people.
Okay, that sounds fascinating. Maybe to get more of a bird's eye perspective on My Friends, you said something about equipping the saints, equipping the churches to share about Jesus. What does that look like?
What does that look like? That's a good question. Well, if a church decides to move along with us, then that means we are partnering with them for a certain amount of time, around a year, year and a half, at the least, to just discover certain principles that Jesus lived in, and to see how can these principles be applied into our lives. So it's not a set of new tools and a set of new rules that you could follow to just bring someone into the kingdom, but it's actually trying to live a life as Jesus lived it, based on those principles that people will see what God's heart looks like, based on a normal life. So that's what you train people in, as well as renewing the mind through a leadership training, where we look into the life of Christ and see what did he do to start alone as a single guy when he was baptized, and then when ascending into heaven, he left a movement that shortly afterwards was around 3,000 people strong, and kept on growing into the current age, where it's millions of people that are actually following him. So that's what we're looking into, and trying to just get as much out of that life as possible to apply it into ours, not in form of rules and tools, but in form of principles. Yeah.
Okay. And then you mentioned that Daniel's friend had been following living out, I guess, the my friend's lifestyle. Mm-hmm. What does that look like?
Well, it starts with love, pray, care. So it starts with your heart, actually, which is what I love about it. It's about us just diving into a relationship with Jesus and talking to Jesus about our friends and asking him to give us opportunities to love on them, to care for them, whatever they need. I sense that's a very, very important thing to me, because I realized after a while that I'm actually not loving my non-Christian friends if I just try to kind of put the Bible onto them and just strike them down with all the truth that I have learned from the Bible. But what's loving to them is what they actually can receive as love. So at first we are learning how do we position ourselves and how do we pray for them in our quiet times, and discovering a relationship with Jesus towards our friends. That's kind of where it starts, and then moves into just sharing about what Jesus does in our lives, because life with him is amazing and it's worth sharing it. And it's actually really interesting for people surrounding us if they can take part in it and they like to listen to us, even though it doesn't seem like it always, but it's more connected to how we share than what we share about. And then just praying for people in everyday life, inviting them to discover the Bible, discover what Jesus said 2,000 years ago, instead of us talking about what it was. We just go into the Bible and read it together, and then we ask, okay, what is it that you've read? What is it that you've learned? Like, what's this book telling you, and how does that impact your life? And so we go deeper and deeper to just discover what God has put into his word for us to discover the faith that we live in.
So to summarize that, it all starts with prayer, and then discovering a loving attitude towards our friends. Then you said something about sharing, but not what we share, but how we share. And then inviting our friends to discover what Jesus did in the Bible. Now, if it's not about what we share, but about how we share, how do we share?
How do we share? It's based on what we've experienced. Like the people nowadays, they're not huge fans of truth, actually. Maybe you've experienced that so far, like talking to someone is like, I discovered this thing and it's amazing. And they are like, yeah, that might be true for you, but you know, I've got this other thing right here, and I think I like that better. And that's just kind of how our culture is. Like, you can't come to them with truth, but you can come to them with who you are and what you've experienced. So talking about what you have been going through the last couple of days or weeks or, I don't know, years, depending on how big your processes are you share about, then they're actually not moving away, but actually listening to you, because it's about you and not what some dude said 2,000 years ago. We'll get there. Like, pretty shortly when you invite them for Bible reading, but before that, it's about relationship, really. Relationship with you, not relationship with God in the first line, but relationship with you.
Okay. So you have your approach, you have your principles, and you teach that to churches and, I guess, groups of individuals who are interested. I'd like to know a little bit more about you, Yannick, how you ended up doing this, and you seem pretty passionate about it. How did you get so passionate about this?
Actually, I'm an IT specialist, a trained IT specialist. That's where I started out. And I wanted to go study information technology. And then I felt like, yeah, it's pretty okay, but I want to work with people. I never thought I'd go into something like studying theology at that point of time, but I did the discipleship training school with Youth with a Mission, and that just changed my course of life. I realized I love seeing people come into a relationship with Jesus and just discovering step by step what He has for us. I decided to go study theology, did that, and then I thought, okay, I really don't want to become a pastor, because apparently as a pastor you're just managing a lot of projects and you have to lead this just this church with so much administrative stuff and all these kinds of things. And I know that's not like the truth in itself, but that's what it felt to me. So I decided to go back to IT stuff after studying theology. And after about 2 months, Jörg, my ministry leader, came to me and he asked me, would you like to join staff with my friends? And that was exactly what I wanted. I wanted to be where people are trained to live an everyday discipleship with their friends, with the people around them, because I think that's where faith needs to happen, because that's where it has most of the impact.
Yeah. And so as ministry has it, that's probably not only something that you teach, but also something that's part of your life. Mm-hmm. So what does that look like in your life?
One of the most important things I discovered is probably praying for people, like on the spot. My mom's birthday is not too long ago. It's, well, about almost a month now. And she had some friends over, and they both had one just had a surgery with his leg, and the other one had a back problem. And I just went up to them and I was like, would you mind if I pray for you? I mean, why not? And surprisingly, if you just ask people if you could pray for them on the spot, they practically never say no. So they said yes, and that actually led us into a discussion, me and one of them, about the faith, and I could share about my heart. So that's one of the things, how it impacts my life. And the other one is definitely the praying to Jesus about my friends part, which I already shared. I feel very strongly in this season that it's important for me to pray for my friends and to care about them. Because I realize if I don't do it, my heart starts to get into the wrong place. And instead of friends that I share my faith with, I see them as projects to just move people into the kingdom. And that feels wrong. Feels wrong to me and feels wrong to them as well. So that's something that is currently being formed in my heart.
Mm-hmm. So you're passionate about seeing transformation in people.
Oh, yeah.
Now, knowing what you're passionate about and what excites you about your job, are there also things that you find challenging about your ministry?
Yeah, definitely. one of the challenging parts is doing office work. It includes a lot of administrative stuff, like those things I didn't want to do as a pastor. Now I realize, yeah, you have to do them anywhere, even in ministry. So that's challenging at times. On the other hand, it's very rewarding to just meeting people and talk to them and see what Jesus does in their lives. So that's kind of leveled out. The other thing that's very challenging to me is actually investing into the region where I'm the regional leader of, because it's a region that not much is happening yet. And it's one of my big questions is how to engage pastors, how to engage churches, how to actually bring it in a way they can be interested in it. On the other hand, I don't want to bring something they don't look for. So if I meet with someone, just figuring out, is it something you actually need as a church right now? Is it where God is leading you at the moment? So that whole pioneering stuff and finding partners to live out the My Friends lifestyle and to train them in the My Friends lifestyle, that's a very big challenge to me. Yeah, because it's not my natural, in my natural set of gifts to connect with people. Even though I'm quite the talkative guy, as you can tell. I'm more of a thinker than I am of a talker.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit more about the man behind the ministry. What we've learned so far is that you are a trained IT specialist and theologian who owns a snowboard, but doesn't get to use it very often. Mm-hmm. And you live in the region of Bern, the capital of Switzerland.
Yes, exactly. I live in a very, very beautiful place. Like if anyone who's going to listen to this podcast ever comes to Switzerland, don't miss out on Thun. Thun is the most amazing, most beautiful place in Switzerland, in my opinion. That's obviously very subjective. I live here together with my wife. I've been married for almost a year now, very happily, and we're just discovering new dynamics in our lives, as people do when they're married. I love to hang out with friends, just spend time together, sharing about what's happening in our lives, going through processes together. Maybe a bit more on the hobby side. I love playing video games.
Okay.
That's one of the things people usually don't expect about me, but I love playing video games. So that's a big part of my life. And I'm a family type of guy. So I love my family. I love my wife's family and just sharing life together. Yeah, that's like the whole package that I am. Well,
yeah,
most of it.
Oh, a well-rounded guy. Now, the My Friends Ministry is something that originated in Switzerland, but I've met you in Berlin. You help out here too. Is the My Friends Ministry in other countries too?
Yes, absolutely. So Germany is one of the countries that we're in. It's actually our focus in 2020 to grow the ministry in Germany, because it's so close, we can actually help out ourselves. Another one would be Austria. Austria is already up and running. There's already one. There's already a national leader for My Friends, working there for about a year and a half now, plus another employee rushing in about half a year. So we're really looking forward to what's going to happen there. These are just the closest countries. We do have people in Australia. Well,
wow.
They kind of, it's kind of a partnership. They have a ministry of their own, which is about training leaders to discover the life of Christ and his principles of discipleship. That's part of what I already told you before, and we kind of partnered with them to bring their ministry together with ours. So they've been training people in the My Friends Lifestyle for about 3 to 4 years now, and then there are people in Finland, there are people in the Netherlands, not a lot, just a couple of them. There's no national leader. And there will be people in the U.S. pretty soon. Actually, Jurg is there right now on vacation, but he also got a little spot to train some people there to just see if someone catches the fire for my friend and wants to head it up a bit there. Yeah, I guess that's a good list. There are probably more countries involved in one way or another, or where people have been trained, but those are the countries we're definitely in.
So very international.
Yeah.
So you keep reiterating the concept of the My Friends Lifestyle. And I mean, with Agape, we've been about discipleship and evangelism forever. That's kind of in our DNA. What's so different about My Friends, or why is it maybe the application of that for this age?
I think one of the unique selling points we have is that we have a postmodern approach, because culture works so differently from what it has been 20 to 30 years ago, where you could just set up a tent and invite people and they just came. That actually doesn't work anymore today. Culture shifts from looking at happenings and just running there because there's actually something happening to a very selective kind of event joining. So that's one of the things, how we have to rethink evangelism, as well as some hardships in inviting people to church. It's not always easy to bring people into church because they don't know it. And actually what they do know about it, and especially in countries like Germany and Switzerland, is, yeah, you are those guys that just go into those old buildings with the clock towers, and people will just grow old in there because it's so boring. And I don't know. Those are some of the challenges we have today. So we somehow have to bring church to the people. And the difference between, say, the four spiritual laws and My Friends is that My Friends is more extensive. So the four spiritual laws are actually part of our basic going through the Bible thing that we do, but it's only one part of 10 to discover the faith, because it's just one thing that you can look at that point of time. Maybe one other thing would be, if you look at the four spiritual laws especially, it talks about sin. Mm-hmm. And how we kind of fail the glory of God. And if you talk about sin in today's culture, people don't even know what it means. So you have to start at way a different point than you had to start 30 years ago, where sin was actually something that was held to an absolute standard. And today, as there are no more absolute standards, you have to re-explain sin, or even go further back and see what are people lacking today? What does God have to offer them? So it's just the approach of more postmodern culture.
Let's dive into that example. What do you tell people what sin is, or what is it that they're lacking and that God has to offer?
It's very dependent on the situation. Like we discover what sin is out of the Bible. Like we don't go to people and say sin is kind of splitting you from God, as we do with the four spiritual laws, because they are not interested in God. It's not that separation is not necessarily what drives them to seeking him. But if he actually offers a solution to a problem they have, they begin to be interested in him. there's this one story of a lady that had a problem. She's raising her kids on her own, and her mirror on the car was broken. And Jurg asked her, "Let's just pray for a mirror. How much does it? How much could it actually cost?" And she was like, "Yeah, around 150 Swiss francs would be okay." And they prayed about it. And a couple of days later, she calls him and she says, "You know, I have found a mirror, and it's actually way cheaper. And I think if God is interested in a back mirror for my car, he's actually interested in me as well." So that's kind of the bridge we try to make, that people feel cared for by us and by God, to actually be interested, okay, what does this God want? Who is this God? And then discover what sin actually means, like the being split from God. That follows afterwards.
Yeah. That's a great story. Do you have maybe another story of somebody who experienced God in your ministry?
Sure. There's one girl, she's called Patricia. She's been trained in My Friend's Lifestyle about 3.5 years ago, I guess. And she started living it out in a hospital. In her team, started praying for her teammates, which was actually pretty fun. Like, again, no one said, "Don't pray for me, please." But she started getting very nice feedback. She started over WhatsApp. So that's maybe a good tip for everyone. Like, if you want to pray for someone, you can just text them and ask, "Hey, could I send you a prayer? I heard you're not feeling well." And then people can say yes or no. Just invite them, ask them. And that's what she did with three of her friends from work, where she actually started working like 3 months before. So she just started into it and became the Christian praying lady from the very beginning. Could send them a prayer, and actually went so far as to pray for people at the table, lunch table, because there were three other girls she was eating with them, and then there was one not feeling well, and she knew, well, I've prayed for the other two already. Why not ask the third one, like the one that's not feeling well right now, if I could pray for her? And it actually gets easier by time, because people are used to you praying for them. And that also gives the opportunity to Jesus to actually show who he is and show that he cares for people. So that's another story I like very much.
Yeah, I love those stories. But you've actually given me kind of the perfect segue to my last question. You already gave the advice of just asking for prayer requests over WhatsApp and then sending kind of prayer over WhatsApp. Do you have like the one thing that you want to share with our listeners? Could be, you said you're a thinker, something that you thought about or that you read, something that's very practical, a favorite verse. The stage is yours.
And the stage is mine. I'd like you guys, if you start sharing about faith, involve people as early as possible to just keep on sharing it. There are going to be people in your life that are going to be interested in faith. And if you talk to them and then ask, "Hey, could you just, is there someone else who's interested in faith that we could talk to in your environment? Or is there someone that would like to come and discover the Bible together with you?" That will actually be a game changer, I guess, in our church culture, if we involve people before they have been baptized, before they have prayed the prayer, but actually teach them that multiplication is the basis of our DNA. And just... Not only because God said, "Go forth and multiply," like that's way in the beginning, but also because Jesus said, "Go and make disciples." And I think making disciples starts way earlier. So if you start living out a lifestyle where you pray for people, where you share about your experiences, start involving people as soon as possible, so that one of the basic things they're doing is multiplying themselves, so faith can actually grow into their environment. So that's the one thing I would, like, apart from everything else I already talked about, that's the one thing I would add on top of that. Teach them to multiply. Yeah.
Well, I mean, multiplication is what we're about with the Agape.
Thank you so much, Yannick, for everything you shared and for this fascinating insight into a great ministry.
Yeah, thank you as well.
Have a great rest of the day and God bless you.
That was Yannick Stauffer. He is a regional leader of the Agape My Friends ministry in Bern, Switzerland. If you liked this podcast, why don't you take a minute and send a message to your friends to recommend it to them? And it would be really helpful if you could share our Instagram stories. Speaking about social media, you can find Agape Europe on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or check out our website, agapeeurope.org. I'm Jochen Geck, and this is Humans of Agape. See you next time.